Welcome to the OFR Farm Report, your look at the Atlanta Braves minor league system, brought to you by OutfieldFlyRule.com, hosted by Andy Harris and Matt Kritzberg.
Hey everybody, welcome to the OFR Farm Report. With me as always, my co-host Matt Kritzberg. Hey Matt, guess what's coming up?
What's coming up?
Minor League Baseball. Ooh. In all of its glory.
And we got a surprise today. We were originally planning on recording on Sunday night, and I'm so glad we didn't.
Yeah, Sunday it's like, well, do we want to record or do we want to wait for the rosters? And yeah, that was a good call because all the rosters released today, given the Braves and their reluctance to deliver information like pretty much any time. I was assuming that we would get the rosters maybe an hour before first pitch. So getting all four minor league affiliated full season affiliated rosters at kind of once was a real treat today. So we're going to be talking about that.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. Yeah, like I said, I mean, it was just a very strange that, I mean, obviously for Gwinnett, they'll start earlier than the other teams. But I mean, I guess what they start on Tuesday, so they'll get theirs a day early. But the rest of them 3 days early, that's unheard of. I mean, there's been seasons where I've gone out to like preview night the night before the season starts, and we still don't have a roster at that point. And it's been literally the day of the last couple of seasons. So this is definitely a big surprise. Christmas come early.
Yeah, it's we're recording this on Monday night, so yeah, in less than 24 hours at this point, there will be minor league baseball being played by the Gwinnett Stripers. So why don't we go ahead and start with them? We'll take a look at their roster.
Yeah, Gwinnett, there were some surprises on there, but not a whole lot. They don't have a lot of prospects on their team, but the ones they do have are at the very top of the list here. You got Kyle. I'm going by now. All the numbers I'm going to be quoting here are from the OFR top 30. So Kyle Muller, number 4, Bryce Elder, number 5, Braden Shoemake, number 11. And then further on down the list, you got Justin Dean at 22, Jaciel De La Cruz at 25, and Grayson Genista at 30. So pretty good representation on the list there. I think the one big surprise, or not even a huge surprise, but at least somewhat of a surprise, especially with all the other infielders that are on the squad that were sent down from Atlanta, is Braden Shoemake, because he didn't exactly tear it up at Mississippi last season. I mean, he had a solid middle of the season, but he started off very badly and ended kind of on a bit of a downslide. So it was a little surprising, but there he is.
There he is. And you and I are talking about this before. You actually made this point, and I think it's a good one, that, you know, why not? The Braves are looking at potential free agency for Dansby Swanson after this season. We expect them to go on the market if they don't re-sign Swanson, but why not take a look at Shoemake, see if he takes a big step forward here at AAA, and maybe he makes this decision for them.
Yeah, because we know he can field. The test is, can he hit? And if he can prove he could hit at this level, I'm sure the Braves would absolutely love to be able to plug him in next season for $700,000 and save a lot of money that they can use in other areas. Because at some point, they're going to have to go with low cost at some positions. You can't pay everybody $10 to $20 million per season. So I'm sure they would love to have some kind of cost savings like that, even if it means a bit of a step down in production.
And then the rest of the infield, like you said, probably no real surprises here. I'm guessing John Nogowski will be pretty much the everyday first baseman. Ryan Castile probably filling in. Second base, third base, you probably just fill in the blank with who you want. You can got Ryan Goines, Yariel Gonzalez, Pat Valenka, Phil Gosselin. They're all pretty much interchangeable. Gosselin can't really play short. I'm guessing that Goines will probably be the second baseman on most nights, with Gonzalez playing third, Shoemake at short, and then Valenka filling in, probably starting maybe two or three times, maybe getting some outfield work as well. Same thing with Gosselin.
Yeah, because there's only three outfielders on the roster. You got Travis DeMeritt, which is expected, and then you got a couple of promotees. You got Justin Dean and Grayson Genista, who played at Mississippi last season. Those are the only three outfielders on the roster. So you'll obviously have one of those infielders, Gosselin or somebody of the like, sliding out there once in a while to get some reps, to give those guys a day off, and to possibly get like some DH duty as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see Genista at DH a fair amount.
Yeah, Genista actually mostly played first when he was on the field with Mississippi last year. So he's going to have to get his running shoes out a little bit more if he's going to be playing right field there in Gwinnett. And then pitching, obviously they don't separate starters from relievers here, but we can make educated guesses for now. For the rotation, I have Tukey Toussaint, Kyle Muller, Bryce Elder, and then Jackson Stevens, who is a free agent pickup, and then Connor Johnstone probably rounding it out for now. We know that when the major league rosters shrink to 26 come May 1st, probably one of Spencer Strider or Tucker Davidson slides down to AAA and joins that rotation, probably bumping Johnstone to the relief corps. But that's what I have right now. Do you have a difference of opinion?
No, I think you're on track with that. I think it's kind of a work in progress here for the first month of the season. And then, of course, as everybody should know, like last season, they get that guaranteed day off every Monday. So there'll be a day built into where they'll get that extra day of rest for the pitcher. So they don't necessarily have to go with a 6-man rotation.
That's right. There's only going to be one starter basically that has to go on regular rest, right? The guy whoever starts Tuesday will end up having to start Sunday. But, you know, then the next time through the rotation, it's a different guy who does that. So it's not always the same guy that has to go on regular rest.
And if they had brought him over today, I would have plugged Bryce Elder in that spot due to his workhorse abilities. But being that they brought him over to help on the major league side today, no, wait a minute. I'm
tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, that's tomorrow. That's right. He's starting tomorrow. So yeah, that definitely takes him out of the running to start the first game for Gwinnett this week. But I think he'll get a fair amount of starts. But I think that's a pretty good idea. We're probably about 90% correct on how that rotation's going to look for Gwinnett.
And then the bullpen side, I've got first of all, obviously Jacob Webb and Dylan Lee. They're both on the 40-man roster. They probably would be the first guys to get the call up if they needed a reliever at the major league level. And then you have Nolan Kingham, who was obviously a starter for most of his pro career and switched over to relief late last season and had some success in that role. I have Jaceel De La Cruz in the bullpen as well. I guess technically he could still be a starter. He started mostly last year, but was largely ineffective. And we think that they're probably moving him to reliever, but that's not confirmed. That's an educated guess on our part. And then you have a bunch of guys with some major league service time. You got Brad Brock, of course, who's has an extensive major league record. And then some guys that have had some cups of coffee up, like Brandon Brennan, Seth Elledge, Brandon Sinager, Nick Vincent, all those guys, major league track records, and Michael Tonkin as well. Yeah.
Yeah. They've got a lot of depth. Now I have a feeling though, that whenever they start making moves, whenever the 28-man rosters at the major league level go back down to 26, a couple of these guys are probably going to be cut loose at that point.
Yeah. And then we got some guys that are, you know, that haven't had major league opportunities. Thomas Burrows, who's been in the organization quite a while now, back with Gwinnett. And then also some guys that they picked up this offseason. RJ Allen is. They just picked up a few weeks ago. And then Alan Winans, who has had some spring training exposure here as a fence jumper and it's looked pretty decent. He was a Rule 5 pick, a minor league Rule 5 pick this offseason.
Yeah, I think he's a guy to keep an eye on. I know he kind of had that as like a kind of a soft tosser, but he had a lot of success at the Double-A level. I think it'll be interesting to see what he can do when he gets the bump up.
All right. Anything else you want to say about Gwinnett, or we want to move on?
No, there's some folks that are missing from the roster, but I imagine we'll look at them after we go through all four levels, and we'll look at who didn't make any roster.
Yes. All right, well, let's go down to Mississippi.
Yeah, Mississippi, this is the loaded roster of all the minor league levels. I mean, from top to bottom, I mean, it is ridiculous. The number one prospect, Michael Harris. Number 8, Freddie Tarnock. Number 9, Jared Schuster. Number 18, Jesse Franklin. Number 15, Darius Vines. Number 17, William Woods. Number 19, Indigo Diaz. Number 21, Alan Rangel. Number 24, Luke Waddell. And number 27, Drew Lugbauer. I mean, that is an absolutely loaded team, especially particularly the starting rotation and the outfield. That's where you're going to see the where you really want to look to see who the folks to watch when you go to those Mississippi games or watch them on MILB TV.
Yeah, if Mississippi is looking to repeat as Double A champions, I guess, hey, we can call them the Southern League champions, right? I mean,
I know. And well, let's go with that for a second. They've renamed, I don't think we addressed this last time out, but they've renamed the minor league levels again. For many years, they called them the Southern League. Now, then they changed into the Double A South for a season, and now they've reverted to their normal name. So the Southern League here will be the International League for Triple A. And it turns out the reasoning for that was that MLB just didn't have the rights to do it. They couldn't name them those. But as soon as they acquired the rights, they switched the names right back again.
Yeah, I'm really happy because if I had to say Double A South, South Division one more time, I it was killing my soul every time I did that. But looking at the infield here, you mentioned Drew Lugbauer will be back for at least to start the season. First base, probably starting first base, and then Luke Waddell, shortstop, replacing Braden Shoemake. Actually, don't think you lose too much there, at least offensively. I don't think Waddell's quite there defensively, but he is more than competent. CJ Alexander returns at third. Jalen Miller coming back at second. I suspect he'll probably be splitting some time maybe with Riley Delgado, who gets the bump up. And Delgado may see some time at third base too. If Alexander, you know, very streaky hitter, doesn't get off to a quick start, I could see Delgado maybe supplanting him there. And also Jordan Cowan, who's a minor league free agent. I thought Cowan would actually probably start at AAA. I had him and Shoemake reversed when I was projecting this. So Cowan instead starts at AA, and he'll obviously get time. He can play all infield positions.
Yeah, and there's several players here on this team that are mainly in Mississippi because of a log jam up at the AAA level. That's probably the case for Cowan because when you have those three infielders we mentioned earlier that all ended up at Gwinnett, that kind of took away any possible spot for Cowan at the AAA level. And I guess that's probably what also happened with some of the pitching staff, too, as far as the relievers like Indigo Diaz, Troy Bacon. Those guys more than earned their way to the AAA level this season, but there's just really nowhere to put them. So they're going to be in Mississippi, at least in the short term.
Yeah, and we overlooked talking about the catchers at AAA, so we'll talk about them kind of all together now. At AAA, you had Chadwick Tromp, of course, on the 40-man roster. He'll probably get most of the reps behind the plate, at least until William Contreras gets sent back down. Arden Pabst gets the assignment at AAA, and then they have as the third catcher Ryan Castile, although he typically gets more of his playing time at first base and DH, but he's there as a third catcher. At Mississippi, you have Logan Brown getting the bump up from Rome last year. Really good receiver behind the plate, solid hitter. He missed most of the second half of last season with an injury. So I know we've seen him as a fence jumper in spring training, so he appears to be back to full health. And of course, Henrik Clementina, everybody's favorite, also catching there. He will catch and probably DH some as well. Matt, I don't know what to say. I thought Clementina would get the bump up to AAA. Instead, it was Pabst getting that bump. And what is this organization even doing anymore?
I know. Pabst, I mean, he played some at, I think he played about half a season at the AA level last season. He had a good OPS at .880, but he only had a 220 batting average. Although neither one has a huge track record, I think Clementina had done enough at the AA level to move him up, but they may have been looking more at Pabst receiving abilities to give him that bump up. But who knows what happens when if Contreras ends up having to get moved back down to Gwinnett, then that probably causes a domino effect where Pabst ends up coming back down to AA and possibly Logan Brown even going back to high A. So there's several different things, scenarios that could still play out at the catching position. But yeah, it was a bit strange, I thought, because Clementina's got some pop in that bat, and I would love to see what he'd be able to do at Gwinnett.
Yeah. Yeah. All kidding aside, Paps is, you know, by far the defensive, better among those two. And I'm sure that was the deciding factor there. Clementina is a hitter first and foremost. And, as a catch,
give him a bat, stick him at the DH spot.
Yes. as a catcher, he, if it's thrown at him, he will catch it. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. The defense is going to take a little bit of a step down from Shea Langeliers last season.
Yeah. Just a little bit. All right. And then the outfield, we have Trey Harris returning. We kind of saw that coming, especially with, Travis DeMeritt sticking around at Triple A. So, but we also called Michael Harris and Jesse Franklin both getting the bump up from High A. Michael Harris, as you point out, the number one prospect in our opinion, taking over center field and will almost certainly be the most watched prospect in all of the minor league system.
I imagine the most frequent setup you'll see is Harris in center, Franklin in right, Trey Harris in left, and you also have Jacob Pearson and Jeffrey Ramos as the backups out there.
Yeah, and you might see Ramos as the DH every once in a while. Pearson's kind of the more defensive guy. I can see him coming in for Harris late in games. That's Trey Harris. Wow, I have to really specify there.
As I say, if he was a defensive replacement for Michael Harris, that'd be a story.
Yeah. Yeah. So both my cousins now on the same team. So great job, Harris's. And then I have as the starting rotation for Mississippi, and we'll see if you disagree with me, Matt, Freddie Tarnock, Jared Schuster, Alan Rangel, William Woods, and Darius Vines.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty solid starting rotation. And even beyond that, you have players that started games for Mississippi last year. Odavi Javier is still around. Hayden Deal. You can go easily seven deep in as a starting rotation. So if they even wanted to go with a six-man rotation, they'd more than be able to do so.
Yeah, and you point out here, there's a lot of returning relievers. The guys ending up in Mississippi last year and returning this year include Indigo Diaz, Troy Bacon, Odavi Javier, Tyler Ferguson, Jake Higginbotham, and Hayden Deal, and AJ Puckett. All returning and then getting the bump up from Rome, we got Trey Riley and Coleman Huntley, and then a new face, Justin Mays, who came in as a minor league free agent.
Yeah, and Mays got into a game, I believe, on Sunday at the spring training level. He got hammered, but it was against MLB bats. So, yeah, I can't really count that against him. But, yeah, I mean, it's not going to be as strong of a bullpen as last season when you had likes of Daisbell Hernandez and Brooks Wilson in there, but there's certainly some guys in here who can make a name for themselves. Kind of interested to see what they do with AJ Puckett, because he had some success starting in Mississippi last season. Then he got bumped down to Rome during the season and did okay starting there. So I don't know what the role is for him at this level. So I'm kind of wondering if they may be looking to convert him into a bullpen arm.
Yeah, he has such an extensive injury history. I think they're just trying to basically just make sure he's successful and stays healthy. Tyler Ferguson getting a lot of run in spring training this year, I noticed, appearing a lot. Obviously, when you see that, that means that Snicker and his staff, you know, basically ask for them, right? They see something that they like, and they keep asking for those guys to be fence jumpers. So I think Ferguson may have, you know, caught somebody's eye up there. We'll kind of see how that works.
And Jake Higginbotham the same way. And I can't remember, he had a couple of really successful appearances during MLB spring training against legit MLB hitters. So I think those are two guys who could be real standouts at this Mississippi bullpen.
Yes, I agree. All right, anything else, or you want to move on to Rome?
Well, let's go to Rome.
All right.
The prospects at this level from the OFR top 30, the main one, and I'm a little surprised he didn't end up at Mississippi, but Vaughn Grissom, the number 7 prospect, is at Rome. And beyond that, the only other one in the top 30 is Justin Henry Malloy at number 28. Grissom, I think he could very well be a short-term stay in Rome. Hopefully he didn't get a long-term lease on any kind of housing there, because he could end up in Mississippi pretty quickly based off his performance last season at the end of the year at Rome, and based on how he did at spring training.
Yeah, I think this might be just a example of just so many infielders in the system kind of kept him at high A, and it doesn't hurt him, right? If he blows off doors, you know, at Rome, that's easy. They just bump him up. But, you know, if he does struggle, then, you know, he's in the right place then. And then Justin Henry Molloy, I assume, will probably be the third baseman with Grissom at short. Cody Milligan, we're going to return for second base. He was the guy probably I missed the most, thought he was going to get the bump up. The infield's kind of crowded. They also got Cade Bunnell here at Rome, who, you know, we talked about last year with Augusta, you know, good power, good on-base skills with that guy. And then Bo Phillip, not much of a bat, but a real defensive standout. So a lot of infield possibilities here. And then you got the big guy, Bryson Horn, coming in at first base, and he'll probably split time between first and DH along with Landon Stevens.
Yeah, I'm the one that really intrigues me here beyond the obvious prospect is Cade Bunnell, because he had the crazy weird numbers at Augusta last season, where, I mean, at one point he had a 40% strikeout rate and a 20% walk rate. Obviously that's not going to work when you get to higher levels, but how high can he go with that approach? If he does anything like that at Rome, they could symbolize some kind of success and be able to even propel him further in the organization. I mean, just getting on base is a skill, and if he can utilize that skill, that can propel him even further in the organization.
Yeah, and I can fully see him actually being the starter at second base over Milligan. Milligan was returning, so I assume that's going to be how that goes. But, you know, Bunnell can play second, third, and short, and he would be my pick to fill in at shortstop if Grissom ends up moving up too. So it's an interesting infield here. I certainly like it better than last year's infield, especially with the Vaughn Grissom being there, and of course with Bryce Ball being kind of a disappointment. So I'm going to be interested in watching this infield.
The one guy that's really a former very high draft pick that looks like he's getting kind of lost in the shuffle now, probably due to his lack of bat, is Bo Phillip. I mean, there's no real obvious place for him to play here in Rome. So, I mean, I imagine he's going to be a backup. I mean, he'll still get a fair amount of reps out there, but I think we're kind of seeing what the limitations of the bat are justifying for him.
And then at catcher, Tyler Tolvey, the product of Kennesaw State, moving up to catcher. I suspect he'll get, you know, a good share of the playing time behind the plate. He's being joined by Javier Valdez, who had a really nice year for Augusta last year. A little bit of an older guy, was a college draft pick in 2019. But is kind of, you know, when he's healthy, he's turned out to be a pretty good investment. And Ruzber Estrada returning to Rome, of course, the Powder Springs native, Powder Springs, Georgia native, is going to be a third catcher there and probably get some DH time as well. But Tolvey and Valdez, I expect, will be doing almost all the catching.
Yeah, I think that's very much the case as well. Yeah, I think overall this infield and the catching position looks a lot like Augusta last year, obviously because of promotions and with not a lot of holdovers. But I mean, it's a fairly solid group for this level.
And in the outfield, not a lot of star power here, but some interesting options. I'm guessing it's mostly going to line up with Willie Carter in left, Christian Robinson in center, and Drew Campbell in right. With Andrew Moritz also on the roster, I can see them also maybe playing Campbell in center, Carter in right, and Moritz in left on days when they want to get Moritz in there. It is what it is.
I was going to say it's a bit of a step down from the Harris Franklin outfield last year, but I mean it's a solid but uninspiring group, I guess, would probably be the best way to put it.
Yeah, of the lot of them, Campbell probably intrigues me the most. Just a good bat to ball guide, but just bothered by injuries pretty much, you know, since he was drafted in 2019. I think he broke his foot fouling off a ball in 2019, not long after he got to Rome in the first place. And then last year had an injury, which wiped out, you know, basically 3 months for him. So when he's in there, he's been a good hitter. So hopefully good health will help propel him forward. Willie Carter is a guy that got off to a real strong start with Augusta last year, kind of faded down the stretch, but a good power source there. Chris Robinson's someone I don't know much about pretty much at all. A mid-round draft pick last year, looked solid at Augusta from what I saw, but I'll be interesting seeing what we get from him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting which one of these four ends up standing out. My guess would be Drew Campbell, but it'd be interesting to see them all. Like Willie Carter, we were kind of wondering why he never got promoted out of Augusta last year, after, especially after his strong start and being a college bat like he is. So we'll see if the talk that we had last year was would justify his performance this season.
And then the starting rotation I have right now, this was a very difficult, you know, trying to parse this out. So this, we'll see how long this lasts here. But right now I have Tanner Gordon, who would be a returning member of the rotation, along with Jake McSteen, who watched pitch today, actually, for in spring training. They'll be joined by Dylan Dodd and Andrew Hoffman, two draft picks from 2021. And I'm guessing another starter will be Roderick Munoz, who both started and relief for Augusta last year. He of the 100 mile per hour fastball, you know, very, very strong slider and very little control. So probably Munoz will be the most interesting guy to watch, but not a rotation with a lot of accolades, but potentially could be a lot better than people think.
Yeah, this is where the Matt Olson trade really hurt, because Ryan Cusick and Joey Estes would have been more than likely in this rotation had that trade not taken place. And this rotation would look a lot stronger, but that also makes the first base position for the Atlanta Braves look a lot stronger. So it was definitely worth the trade-off. But yeah, it's going to definitely hurt. But there's some opportunities out there and some potential talent in these arms.
And then we got a whole bunch of relievers. Justin Yeager is a guy that we've been talking about a little bit. A potential high leverage guy. He pitched today as well and looked pretty good out there against Major League Tampa Bay Rays. So he came in when Anderson was unexpectedly had to leave after warming up to start the fourth inning, and with a blister on his toe. So Yeager came in kind of as a surprise and did well. Dylan Spain, another guy, he had a really good year last year, comes back to Rome. Lisandro Santos, he kind of bounced back between Rome and Augusta. Really good stuff, not a lot of control, but a promising lefty. Also returning Benjamin Dumb and Davis Schwab, another lefty. Merrick Krause comes back from last year's Rome bullpen. And then coming up from Augusta, you have Roldy Munoz, the twin brother of Roderick Munoz. And then you have Malcolm Van Buren and Alec Barger, who's a guy I really kind of like in a long relief role. Austin Smith, also a draft pick from last year, jumping up to Rome. And then we have Luis de Alvila, who was a, I believe he was a minor league free agent.
Yeah, there's a couple of promising arms here, especially I specifically pointed out on my sheet here, Justin Yeager and Dylan Spain. I think those are two guys who could have very short tenures at the Rome level, be able to be promoted Mississippi, depending on how well they do, plus clearing out some of the logjam at the Mississippi level. So they could definitely end up there in the not-too-distant future.
All right, shall we move on to Augusta?
All right, Augusta, there's few solid prospects there, not a whole lot. This is where this team's gonna be a little rough to watch, especially initially, but there's definitely some interesting prospects here. Among the pitchers, Adam Shoemaker, left-hander, he's a left-handed pitcher, he's a number 23 prospect in the organization. You have AJ Smith Shawver, he's the highest ranked prospect that we have on our list that ended up at Augusta. He's number 16. And then we have infielder Cal Conley, who is number 34 on our list. Those are the highest rated prospects, along with outfielder Brandel Mesquita, the number 33 prospect. Those are some ones I want to point out, especially Brandel Mosquito, because we pointed this out several times before. He's the last remaining prospect of the copy kids from when all the prospects are taken away. He was the one that re-signed with the organization, and now he's made it to full season ball.
Yeah, and I'm actually excited to see him. It's been a long time coming. He's been in the short season leagues for a while now, but he's still very young. I think he just turned 20, so it's not like he's even behind schedule or anything. He's just finally getting his man strength in.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably younger than half the other people on this team.
Yeah, exactly. looking at the infield, you mentioned Cal Conley. He's someone that a lot of people are pointing to as maybe a sleeper out of that 2021 draft. And he came to Augusta and didn't perform particularly well. So it's not a surprise that he's coming back here. What is good is that he'll probably have shortstop to himself. He was kind of bounced around the infield last year, sharing time with Cade Bunnell and Vaughn Grissom. I'm guessing he's going to just be the shortstop. Mekhi Backstrom finally gets to full season ball. This is about a year after we kind of thought, but it looks like he's going to be the first baseman. An interesting guy here also is Geraldo Quintero. He was really strong in the DSL back in 2018 and 2019, playing second base and shortstop. He came over, played in the Florida State League last year, playing outfield, second base, but mostly third base. And I suspect that he will be the primary third base, very fast guy, probably your leadoff hitter. And I'm guessing your second baseman is probably going to be Braulio Vasquez, who's another speed guy, but it could be Caleb Durbin or Brian Klein, the two other infielders that are listed here. Again, you can probably mix and match however you want those, but Conley will probably play every day. Backstrom probably plays every day, and Quintero plays every day somewhere.
Yeah. Now let's look at the catchers as a position of interest. There's a couple of recent draftees and signees. Adam Zabrowski, who came on at the end of last season, and Antonio Barranca in his first shot at full season ball. I think they have Victor De Hoyos at a catching position as well. So they've got three catchers at this level, and there's definitely some players to watch at that level.
Yeah, I'm particularly interested in Barranca. He was an undrafted free agent signing during the lockdown. He wasn't drafted. Obviously, that was a shortened five-pick draft, right? So, there was a ton of people that didn't get drafted that normally would have. And Barranca is one of those guys. I think he was rated as one of the top high school catchers that would have been part of that draft. So the Braves picked him up as an undrafted amateur free agent. Interested to see what he has. I imagine he gets most of the playing time. Zabrowski is more of a hitting catcher, and I think he'll get a good look at DH. De Hoyos has been in the organization for a while, kind of the typical org catcher, and I'll think he'll be the primary defensive backup there. So Barranca, very interested in seeing what he has. And then in the outfield, you already mentioned Mosquito as well. Steven Paolini returns, and he'll probably play most of the time at center field. Also returning Brandon Parker and Connor Blair. Interesting to see what Blair does. He was hampered last year with a hand injury. He actually had to have surgery on that hand, and those injuries kind of take a while to get back from. So maybe a full year back, we'll kind of see what he can do. And then along with Mosquito, the guy coming up from the Florida Complex League, Caden Morton, very interested to see how he does in his first taste of full season ball. Very athletic guy, was a star quarterback, and now playing outfield for your Augusta Green Jackets.
Yeah, I'm going to be very interested to see kind of a Morton, Paolini, Mosquito alignment out there in the outfield. There's some definite promise going on there. Not a whole lot of results that we've seen so far, but it's definitely going to be interesting to watch.
And then as for your starting rotation, this was pretty much shot in the dark as far as trying to figure out who the starters are going to be outside of Smith, Shauver, and Shoemaker, who Matt, you've already discussed. I'm guessing Roybal Salinas, who ended last year in the Augusta rotation, he'll be back. And then I'm assuming Tyler Owens may take another spot. He's someone that we've kind of tagged before as a potential sleeper. He was drafted late in 2019 and given a overslot bonus. And unfortunately last year injuries pretty much ended his season. I think right in like early June. So before he got hurt, he was mostly pitching out of the bullpen. I don't know if that was to just try to ease back on him or whatever, but I'm assuming he's going to be back in the rotation now. And then for this starter, I have Rob Griswold, who was a minor league free agent who has had some starting experience in, and I don't remember what organization he came in before this one, but I'm guessing he gets that fifth starter spot. But who knows?
Yeah, and as far as the bullpen goes, a couple of ones we're going to pick out. Chris Anglin, who was a draftee last season, left-hander, and that one I definitely want to point out, for no other reason from a sentimental standpoint, J.J. Niekro, son of Joe and nephew of Phil, will be in the Augusta bullpen. So it's a nice story, and hopefully he can produce so he can keep moving up through the organization and eventually wear a Braves jersey.
Yeah, actually, obviously, we're all rooting for him. Some guys that are returning, Peyton Williams, Miguel Pena, Starlin Rodriguez, Ben Thompson, James Acuna, who I really like in that kind of long relief role. And that's it. That's all the returners. Some of these guys, I think their performances didn't really quite match up with maybe what their arm talent is. Especially Peyton Williams and Ben Thompson, I think, have a little bit more to show than what they did last year. And then you have some promotees, Luis Vargas, Ellison Joseph, Landon Leach, and Juan Mateo, along with J.J. Niekro, getting their first shot at full season ball.
And I find it interesting to point out that they're going to have a 16-man pitching staff. They have two left-handers on it. Shoemaker and Anglin will be the only lefties in this whole bunch.
Yeah, they had the same kind of issue last year too, if I recall. Like, I think they went a long stretch there without any lefties in the bullpen at all, and then Lisandro Santos was sent back down from Rome and was the left-hander for a little while. So I don't know. That seems to be par for the course for Augusta for some reason. All right, now the talk after the rosters came out was who wasn't on the roster. There are some players that we know are in the organization, but were not listed on the roster. We assume some of these guys are hurt and will probably be announced that they're on an injured list. And some of these guys we figure are being held back in extended spring training.
Yeah. Just kind of going down the list here, and Drew Waters, who did suffer, and we know he suffered an injury early on in spring training. I believe he played two games and then he got knocked out after that. It was not noted at the time how serious the injury was, but it looks likely that he's going to start the season on the injured list. Now, some of these players may not necessarily start on the injured list. They may be hitting onto extended ball. Victor Vodnik, he pitched some during spring training, but with his injury history and the fact that they've got a pretty stacked Mississippi rotation right now, I'm kind of wondering if they may be sending him to extended to kind of get him stretched out a little bit. So it'd be kind of interesting to see there. Ranieri Rodriguez, we haven't heard anything out of him at all, so I don't know what his story might be. One definitely interesting story here is reliever Brooks Wilson, who's on our top 30 prospect list as a reliever, pitched very well for Mississippi last season, and then in a late look with Gwinnett. He didn't pitch at all in spring training, and we've literally heard nothing from him, so I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the mystery 60-day IL treatment, depending on any kind of future signings. If they need a 40-man spot, I'm kind of wondering if he might be next man up to give up his spot, at least in the short term. Tyler Collins, who did very well in the complex league last season, showed some really good skills, especially in the speed department. Our number 26 prospect, and I believe he played a little bit early on in spring training as well, but we haven't heard anything out of him recently, and he's not on any rosters. Jared Johnson, our number 35 prospect. I'm thinking he might end up going to extended. I mean, because he kind of flip flopped a little bit between Augusta and extended last and the complex league last season. So I'm kind of wondering if they may be trying to work on some things with him in extended before they assign him to a full season roster. And then Corbin Klaus has an injury history, and with a stacked bullpen at Gwinnett, I'm kind of wondering if he might be hurt again to start this season.
Yeah, and also Brandon White, realized that he was on there as well. So now White doesn't have an extended injury history, but of course it's a shortened spring training. Anything could happen. So I'm guessing he might be feeling something, and they're holding him back for some reason.
Yeah, and then we have there are some other players who didn't show up on any rosters or even on the missing list from the top 30. In particular, the ones who ended up in MLB, Spencer Strider, our number 3 prospect, Tucker Davidson, our number 6 prospect. They're at the major league level for now. Then you have the 3 international players, Diego Benitez, our number 10, MBR's Tavares, number 13, and Douglas Glode, number 32. They're an international ball. I mean, they'll be at a complex level for a while, not ready for full season ball, but I wouldn't be surprised to see, especially Tavares. He got a little bit of run at spring training here during the weekend, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him pop up at Augusta at some point later on the season. And then we have on the injured list that we know of for sure, Spencer Schwellenbach, who had Tommy John surgery basically as soon as he became an Atlanta Brave, number 12 prospect. And then Daisbell Hernandez, our number 29 prospect, had surgery during the offseason. He'll likely miss the entire year this year. So those two are definitely on the injured list and probably won't pitch at all this season. Schwellenbach possibly late in the season, but that's very much up in the air.
So that's it. That's the rosters as we know right now. Like we said, there might be a little bit of juggling here and there, but I think not a whole lot of surprises overall. Probably Shoemake getting the bumped up to AAA was probably the one thing I was kind of questioning, but then the more I thought about it, the more it kind of made sense. So I'm certainly looking forward to the start of the season and with the Stripers getting us started tomorrow.
Yeah, and they're getting an extended season this year. AAA, I believe, is playing 150 games this season, and I'm thinking the lower levels are getting more games this year, but definitely not to the level of 150. But yeah, it's going to be a fun season. Like we talked about earlier, they're going to keep the same schedules last year, where they play Tuesday through Sunday, get a guaranteed day off on Monday for travel. This is going to be a lot of fun. I imagine we'll keep the same schedule we did last year, where we'll record on Mondays and post it on Tuesdays, and we'll recap the weeks as we go on.
Indeed. And as a special treat, at some point this week, we will be recording our 4th annual Braves Minor League Fantasy Draft. Me and Matt will go head-to-head again. The previous 3 times, I believe, Matt, you won the first one. I won the 3rd one. The 2nd one was called off due to pandemic, so everybody lost.
So we're 1-1-1. Let's see what we get. See, we can break the tie.
Yeah, so we'll be recording that later this week, and we'll probably just simply attach it to our next show, which will probably be recorded Sunday and then going out no later than Monday. So, and then we'll be back on our regular weekly schedule, like Matt said. So looking forward to that. And until next time, let's go Stripers on Tuesday and go Braves on Thursday.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good one.
No, rien de rien. Non, je ne regrette rien. Ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal. Tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien. C'est payé, balayé, oublié. Je me fous du passé avec mes souvenirs. J'ai allumé le feu, mes chagrins, mes plaisirs. Je n'ai plus besoin d'eux. Balayer les amours, avec leur trémolo, balayé pour toujours, je repars à zéro. Rien, ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien, car ma vie, car mes jours. D'accord.